If you did nothing else this morning, it's been good, hasn't it? Amen. God is so good. Man, I believe when you come open and ready to hear what he has to say and a heart ready to receive it, I believe that he accomplishes more than we can ever imagine. And I just felt as worship this morning that you just, as you come in empty, you just say, Lord, fill me to overflowing with your presence. And I believe the Lord's working in some people's circumstances and situations. Amen? Amen. If you would turn with me to the book of Jude, that's the one book before the book of Revelation. It's a one chapter book in the Bible that I believe is packed with Christian principles. And I believe that as it begins with this invocation, this call to worship, it says, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. And then in between he says, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Anybody want abundance this morning? He is speaking and writing to believers. And the chapter ends with a benediction, or the ending, he says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen? If we would grasp that there's an anointing in the invocation, there's anointing in the benediction, and then if that's not enough, in between this opening and closing, he gives us a series of sermons that begin to touch our lives and calls us into persevering as believers and being aware of some of the warnings that he gives us. He paints this picture of how the believers are in a sin-filled world, but then he also pictures the Christian to persevere and the blessings that come from persevering. So if you would turn with me, you should be there by now. Starting at verse 3, he says this. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago has secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own homes, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal life. In the same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love fest, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit, and uprooted twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Can you just bow your head with me this morning? Father, as we just take a moment to look at your word and into your word, we see a warning here. We see, Lord God, that you're very much speaking to believers, warning them about the world around them. And then we will soon see, Lord God, that you also call us to persevere. May we, as we hear your word, take the warnings that you give us and receive the blessings that you show us, that we might be all that you want us to be. Lord God, that you would accomplish all that you want in each one of our lives every day, Lord God. May we draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. He paints this picture. He paints this picture of unbelievers in the beginning and paints a beautiful picture of those to persevere. Do you know to those of us who are not where we need to be, he gives us a warning. To those that are struggling, I believe that the greatest glory that we can attain is to be used of God. Amen? I think of this illustration, must go faster. And if you're a movie buff, you would understand that is what Dr. Ian Malcolm said in the iconic scene from the 1993 movie Jurassic Park, as he and two others are in this vehicle trying to outrun this Tyrannosaurus that is after him, and he's looking in the mirror and he sees this giant dinosaur chasing after him, all jaws, trying to get him. And as the driver, this shows in the movie, as the driver is looking in the mirror, he sees this: objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear. And he says, must go faster. Don't you sometimes feel that the world and all the things that are going on, that is chomping at the bit, going after us, don't you sometimes have this feeling that they're right on your tail and that God is giving us warnings so that we can understand that apart from him, we're in trouble, amen? And the world just backs that up, that the more that we try to do things without the Lord, we can understand that we must go faster. Because the dinosaur is after us. The jaws of life are after him. Jude says this. He says, I felt compelled to write and to urge you to contend for the faith. There are those that have slipped in and caused problems, and those that are slipping into our lives that have secretly allowed us to slip away from where we need to be. Verse 5 says, though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed them. I want you to understand, he says, woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain. Warnings that God has always done what he said he's going to do, amen? We stand on the promises. Then we have to understand that in his words of judgment, he's going to stand on those words too, that he brought his people out, but he expects them to follow him. He expects them to be obedient. He understands that there's going to be judgment, and he says they've taken the way of Cain. So my thought is, okay, what is the way of Cain? And when you begin to look at all of that and you go back and you look at Cain, the way of Cain is evil. It's not good. Cain killed his brother, Abel. He was the first child of the fall of man, and Cain is open and sinning against God, defiant against God. The way of Cain is unbelief. The way of Cain is apostasy. The way of Cain is worldliness. The way of Cain is hatred. The way of Cain is God defiance. Anybody know and see this going on in the world today, marked with doom, and he was banished from God. And Jude tells us that we don't have to go by way of Cain, amen? On this side of the cross, amen, we can go by the way of Christ and see what Christ wants to do. That ought to be a big amen when you see that. To those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. And if you remember last week, and as we looked at Paul and Paul trying to get out of the thorns that were going on in his life, and God saying, my grace is sufficient. And we were looking at that God's grace is more than enough for us. Amen. God's sufficiency is more than enough for us. And he tells us, you know, he's looking here, he's saying that here we can have God's mercy, we can have God's peace, and we can have it in abundance. I don't know about you, but my heart just begins to start jumping with excitement when I stop to think, what is God's abundance? And how good could that be? And what abundance can we have in Christ, and then to see his mercy and his grace and his peace when all the resources of heaven are working in our behalf. I can picture abundance being everything that we need and more. Amen? Somebody ought to be getting excited. And then you see his introduction here. He says, Jude, the brother of James, the servant of Jesus Christ. I believe this is really humbling, because you stop and you think about this, is that James is the brother of Jesus. So Jude is the brother of Jesus, but he's humbled to say that he's a servant of Jesus Christ. They have the same mother, but not the same father. Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit, and Mary and James and Jude were by the same mother, conceived by Joseph, the earthly father. And I believe we can see three things here that describe us as believers. We can see that we're called by God, we're beloved in God, and we're kept in Jesus Christ. Called by God meaning summoned to God for a task and a responsibility. Called out of his goodness. Beloved in God meaning that each man and each woman is called to love God, and we're called to love each other as God would love us. Kept in Christ is this abundance that just thrills my heart, is that we don't have to do this alone, amen? We don't have to do it in our strength. We don't have to do it alone. We are called to be a part of something bigger than we are. He warns us that the day of judgment is coming. We can see it. He calls believers to persevere and to make a difference. So if you're still at Jude in verse 17, he says this, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. Let me try that again. My teeth will catch up with my lips. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire, and save them. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Building ourselves up, if you're taking notes this morning, building ourselves up in holy faith, the things of God should be important in our lives, amen? The things of God should be shown to us. We should protect them, and we should put them where they need to be. We need that time alone with God. We need to be honest with God. We need to be open and wanting him to work in our lives. We need our hearts to be open to express the heartfelt needs that we're going through. We need to be reading his words so that his word can touch and change us, allowing it to change our lives every day. We need that fellowship with each other. People with like-minded faith that we can come alongside. We're helping them and they're helping us as we journey together. We need each other. Amen? Let's say that again. We need each other. We need to come together. We do things better together. Each one of us needs to know that we need to stay in this right relationship with the Lord so that he can direct our paths. He tells the apostles here, he says in Jude, he says, to remember what the apostles told you, that there would be scoffers, there would be distractors of your faith. Don't let them mock your God and take you where you don't want to go. Anybody ever been there? The world today wants to take you where you don't want to go, and you have to make a stand and you have to say no sometimes. Don't let them distract you from where and what God is telling you that you should be doing. Don't let them drain your faith, take you off track. And to me, a distraction is anything that prevents you from giving your full attention to something else, amen? Don't raise your hand, but how many would have to be honest this morning and say that sometimes our relationship with the Lord suffers because we're too busy? too caught up in our situations and not our relationship. Too often we're caught up wondering if God's going to show up when God has showed up all the time. We're just not hearing what he has to say. I've had people say they're too busy to pray. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Can you say amen to that? If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Contending for your faith and building yourself in holy faith is making sure that nothing gets between you and your God. Amen? Building ourselves up in the holy faith. The second thing is this, allowing the power of God to be working in our lives. Verse 19 says, these are the men who divide, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Do you realize the Holy Spirit working your life is life-changing? It's life-changing. You cannot have an encounter with God. You cannot have the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart and your life and not make a change and not be empowered. The indwelling of the Spirit in the believer comes to bring us life, amen? Titus tells us that it comes to bring us life. The Holy Spirit confirms to the believer that his Spirit draws close to our spirit and tells us that we're drawing in one, that we're heirs of Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us natural talents, but then because of his abundance, he gives us supernatural fruits of the Spirit to be working and doing what he tells us and asks us to do, amen? Somebody ought to be getting exciting. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to read the Word of God and for the Word of God to become alive. Because the Word of God is truth, he tells us and shows us that because of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, he will reveal truth to us. Our prayer life becomes stronger because the Holy Spirit intercedes even when we don't know what to pray. The Holy Spirit begins to give us utterance. Begins to tell us, even when the only thing we can say is crying words, the Lord knows what we're talking about and what our heart is saying. When we accept the Lord as Christ in our lives and as Lord of our lives, the Holy Spirit takes up residency in our hearts and our lives. You know what the church needs? Universal? More of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Allowing God to show up. We can have an agenda. We can have a service all planned out, but God shows up. He needs to take priority in it. And allowing us to get in his presence, whatever that means, whatever that looks like. The Holy Spirit working in the lives of believers should be evident that when others come in contact with us, they say, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. Keeping ourselves holy as he's holy. Let me tell you, we're Nazarenes. That's holiness, folks. That's holiness. That's what we stand on. That's what we believe that God wants to not only save us, but empower us to live the lives that he's called us to. Building ourselves up in the love of God, in the holiness of God, keeping ourselves in the love of God and being in love with God, allowing him to work in our lives. And the last part of that is being a servant. These are the things that will keep you loving Jesus. These will be the things that keep you walking right, building yourselves up in your faith, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your lives and being a servant. Number three is this, saving others from the fire, snatching others from the fire, being a servant, being what God called us to be. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. That's holiness. That's holiness. God calls us to address those that have doubts, those that have questions. That's why we're called to know what we believe. That's why we're called to know and be able to give an answer to what we believe when somebody has these questions. That's why the Lord says, in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He gives Paul these words, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of others. Amen? And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in according with God's will. Amen? You want to know God's will? Seek God's word. You want to know what God's will is? You need to be praying, and you need to be asking the Lord what he needs to do in your lives. And we know that all things work together for good. For what? Those that are called according to his purpose. Amen. Those that love him. Paul's heart's desire and prayer was to see people rescued and saved. Jude tells us that it's more than just making sure we got a ticket to heaven. It's snatching those from the fire. It's making a difference in people's lives. It's looking out that if we would confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, they would be saved. Trusting God to make the difference. You've never saved anyone. I've never saved anyone, but the Lord can use you to save someone. The Lord can get a hold of a heart. Lord, that you would give us a desire and a burning to take those out of the fire, that we have a duty to be a servant of the Lord and to be sensitive to those times that he calls us. When the power of the Holy Spirit has gone out of the church, we've ceased to be the church. Can you say amen to that? When we no longer take a look at somebody and want them to know the Lord, when we no longer come together to see God do something fresh and new in us so that we can do something fresh and new for him, we are not being the church. There are those that are going the wrong way. And to stay in love with Jesus, the best way you can stay in love with Jesus is stay a servant for Jesus. Being active, having a mind of Christ, wanting to see them saved. See, we say we love Jesus, and sometimes we have to be careful that we don't let all the life circumstance get in the way of that. That it don't just become words. People shouldn't not only know that you love Jesus because you told them, they would see it in our lives. We must fight to keep that relationship fresh and new daily, drawing close to him. And when we're in that right relationship with God, he will show us people that we need to be talking to. I love this illustration. It goes something like this. Perhaps you've seen the flyer and it says, "So far today, God, I've done all right. I have not gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been grumpy or nasty or selfish. I'm really glad of that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need your help." Now let that sink in a minute. We have a responsibility. We have a duty. We have a calling to be a servant of Christ. Another illustration, a city was having trouble with their bus systems. And the buses were driving right past passengers. Now, bear with me a second. Driving right past passengers at the bus stop. It caused quite a stir in the newspaper. The transit authorities decided to answer the problem in a press release, and this is what they said. Now, get this. This is what they said about the problem of passing passengers at the bus stop. The transit authorities decided that it is impossible for us to maintain our schedules if we are always having to stop and pick passengers up. Doesn't that sound like church sometimes? We get so busy. God, you know I'm busy. I don't have time to talk to so-and-so. I don't have time to do such and such. And we're missing out. We're missing out what God has told us to do. Funny thing, as I'm trying to put this together, it's been one of those weeks. I put a mail out in our box out here, threw the flag up and had some things for Bountiful Blessing and some letters that had to go out. I see the flag still up. And then later on I go to check because nobody pulled the flag down. I look in and there on top of my letters and the envelope that had to go out was the mail thrown right on top. See, in the midst of being so fast and so eager to do everything to get things accomplished, they missed what was going on. How do you throw the mail in the mailbox when you see mail's already there and the flag's up, but you can just go about your day? And I believe that's a perfect example of what's going on in a lot of our lives. We get so busy. I got to get this letter there. So boom, you throw it, you missed who was standing there. You missed who was there. You missed everything that was going on, and you missed what's really going on in people's lives. And you say, well, I intended to. I meant to. I wanted to. I hit anybody this morning? Because the Lord got a hold of me. We can get so busy. We can get so wrapped up being churchy that we miss what we're supposed to be doing. We miss the warnings that God wants to give us. This morning, as we close here, and I close in prayer, my prayer is that we don't get too busy, that we don't do what we're supposed to do. Amen. Anybody with me? Anybody with us this week that would say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to spend more time with you. I'm going to see what you have to say about some of the circumstances and situations in my life. Lord God, where you want me to change things, I'm willing to show me. Lord God, I know that you put me at this workplace, and sometimes this workplace is not everything that I want it to be, but I believe if you're there, God has a reason and wants to use you while you're there. Who can I talk to? I know I see my neighbor. I know I go here and I go there. We've all had people that just stop and unload on us. We have the answer. We have the answer to most of their problems. Point them to Jesus. Allow them an opportunity that God would work through you or cause them to draw close to the Lord. Amen? Oh, come on. Let's be the church. Father, this morning, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, each one of us needs to be a part of snatching more out of the fire. Each one of us, Lord God, needs to be searching our hearts to fulfill what you want us to do in our lives. Each one of us, Lord God, needs to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit working in our lives to empower us, to equip us, to be all that we need to be for you, Lord God. And I'm asking that we would see a mighty move of your Spirit, that we would see revival, and it would begin in each one of us. And Lord God, that we would have sensitive hearts, open hearts, that you might accomplish more in each one of our lives. We'll give you honor. We'll give you praise. We'll thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. And as we sense your presence here this morning, as we come to worship, may every Sunday that we come together, may we come with a heart of expectation for what you want to do in our lives. Diligently seeking you. In Jesus' name, amen.